हरि ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमभिर्विश्वामहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीमासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, chapter 1, Spiritual Masters, page 25. From Srila Prabhupada. The spiritual master is also called Acharya, or transcendental professor of spiritual science. The Mano Samhita 2.140 explains the duties of an Acharya, describing that a bona fide spiritual master accepts charge of disciples, teaches them the Vedic knowledge with all its intricacies, and gives them their second birth. The ceremony performed to initiate a disciple into the study of spiritual science is called Upaniti, or the function that brings one near to the spiritual master. One who cannot be brought near the spiritual master cannot have a sacred thread, and thus he is indicated to be a Shudra. The sacred thread on the body of a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya is a symbol of initiation by the spiritual master. It is worth nothing if worn merely to boast of high parentage. The duty of the spiritual master is to initiate a disciple with the sacred thread ceremony, and after this samskar, or purificatory process, the spiritual master actually begins to teach the disciple about the Vedas. A person born a Shudra is not barred from such spiritual initiation, provided he is approved by the spiritual master, who is duly authorized to award a disciple the right to be a Brahmana if he finds him perfectly qualified. In the Vayu Purana, an Acharya is defined as one who knows the import of all Vedic literatures, abides by the rules and regulations, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way. Here it is. I've been looking for this sentence since the mid-90s.
Maybe you take a picture.
Here. In the Vayu Purana, that's where it was. I always thought it was a Varaha. The Vayu Purana. An Acharya is defined as one who knows the import of all the Vedic literature, so means he's heard and all that, abides by the rules and regulations, he's practicing them, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way. That's the fourth aspect.
Yeah. You see, but in the beginning of the Kalpas, it is mainly about the Diksha Guru.
It has all these functions, because the thing is all these will be connected with the Acharya. And so the point is about learning all these things. So Manasamhita was describing the Acharya because it describes them there about the teachers. And so the teachers means one who knows a particular branch of knowledge. And, you know, they're good at teaching that. Or at least they, you know, they can teach it. And like this. So that's called a upadhyaya. Right? And so then, but higher than that is the one who teaches, as Prabhupada mentions here, teaches them all the Vedic knowledge with all its intricacies. Right? So that is the... that is the rahasyas, or the hidden points. So that makes it on the higher level. Because just to teach the knowledge, that the upadhyaya does, but to teach the fine meanings of that, you know, the finer points, that's the point of the acharya. And gives them their second birth. So here is that you have the aspect of the second birth with the Vedic, but we're also here is mixed with the second birth with the Pancharatra. So that aspect is, you have to see is that it's working both aspects, because Prabhupada is here giving the Upanayanam, but before it was they would give that and then train them in this way. Though you would have the family gurus who would also give the Upanayanam,
yes.
And but they would only be on the level of an Upadhyaya.
Yes.
So the Upadhyaya is not enough to teach to be the spiritual master, to give spiritual initiation. That one has to have this more of this acharya aspect. Right? So that means the acharya's duties already include the Upadhyaya's duties. Right? So that's why you'll see is that both of them will be mentioned. Right? Yeah, called to Upanayati, to one who brings near the spiritual master.
Is it possible for a Shiksha Guru to be like Acharya?
Yes. But it's just that they don't do this point of the Pancharatrik initiation.
Yes. Yes.
But the point is they can explain all the fine points like that. They're knowing these, they're practicing these, they're teaching the disciples that in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, only out of his immense compassion does the personality of Godhead reveal himself as the spiritual master. Right, because the point is Krishna arranges this. He's in the heart. He's been watching us do all kinds of stupid for a long time. So when there's somehow an idea to get beyond, what's beyond stupid, then Krishna, it says, out of his compassion, then he reveals himself as the spiritual master. Then he gives one contact with the devotees. Right, and then hearing from them, now you have that opportunity to take that and apply it in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, then you'll get some Agyata Sukriti, and then you'll have to wait again until, you know, somehow or another you get, you know, near the, you know, how you say, the beach where it's not as deep. You poke your head out a bit. What's going on? And then again you'll come in contact. So however many lifetimes, that's why it says it takes many, many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. If we've come to the point of Shraddha, which means what was it you were saying? Surrender to the spiritual master. Where was that?
Shraddha is complete when one surrenders to the spiritual master.
Okay. And that was given by?
Jiva Goswami. In Bhakti Sandhava.
Okay. So, then that aspect, that means as many lifetimes where we're just coming a little closer. Right? So in any case, that's the point. The spiritual master is bringing one closer. Then you take advantage of that on the spiritual platform, use that to go back to Godhead, then that's the perfection. If not, you'll get closer, and then it will continue again. But especially before Shraddha, that may take so many lifetimes. It means you have those persons where you meet them the first time, you explain something about Krishna, and then they just take up Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they move into the temple, they do all kinds of things. A few years later, then they're doing, you know, all kinds of big things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can understand they were so much closer.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the guys that they've been coming around the temple for the last 20 years. Nice guys. You know, and when they do come, they'll do some service, they'll give a little money, they'll do something, but they just can't bring it any to that real surrender. That means it's not enough. The volume is not enough of Agyata Sukriti. So, by that association, by that service, it's increasing. So it's bringing it closer. So you don't know when that moment is. Right? So here's, out of his immense compassion does Krishna bring one in contact with the spiritual master. Because how many living entities are there in the universe, right? Unlimited. And so to come across someone who's in the proper line of spiritual knowledge and practicing it, how often is that? Right? It means by the mercy of Krishna and by the grace of the Acharya, then we see that it seems more commonplace. But if you think about it, it's not. It really isn't. Like that. Yeah. Therefore, in the dealings of an acharya, there are no activities but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. He is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. It is worthwhile, but that's why it also says he represents Balaram, because he is the Supreme Personality of Servant of Godhead. Right? And so he's representing. It is worthwhile to take shelter of such a steady devotee, who is called Ashraya Vigraha, or the manifestation or form of the Lord, of whom one must take shelter. Right? So a steady devotee. So at least then they're acting on that platform of preaching and this and that. So it's ideal that they're more advanced than that, but they're acting on the Madhyam platform. Because if they're not acting on the Madhyam platform, they may not, you know, spend any time with you. Right? If one poses himself as an acharya but does not have an attitude of servitorship to the Lord, he must be considered an offender. And this offensive attitude disqualifies him from being an acharya. Right? So, acharya means, as mentioned here, one who knows the import of the Vedic literatures, right? Pure devotional service, abides by the rules and regulations, practices that way, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way. Right? So it's all about that. It's not about anything else. So, that means technically, any preacher can be acharya. Right? That's why then you have the founder acharya to make that distinction. Somebody say, the bona fide spiritual master always engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By this test, he is known to be a direct manifestation of the Lord and a genuine representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Such a spiritual master is known as Acharya Deva. Influenced by an envious temperament and dissatisfied because of an attitude of sense gratification, mundaners criticize a real acharya. In fact, however, a bona fide acharya is non-different from the personality of Godhead. And therefore, to envy such an acharya is to envy the personality of Godhead itself. This will produce an effect subversive to transcendental realization. Right? So we should understand the actual position of what we're dealing with here. You know, spiritual life is something special. And so that being able to take shelter of someone who's leading us in that, then that's very special. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's Krishna's arrangement. That's the whole idea. And so we should understand we're dealing with something much more. It means we may, by the influence of the kind of contemporary social environment, take things in a much more relaxed way, but technically they're not. Right? It means anybody who has faith, that's something special, that's rare. It's not ordinary. Right? So let alone those who are then more who are steady in the process. Right? One should know the instructing spiritual master to be the personality of God, personality of Krishna. Lord Krishna manifests himself as the super soul and as the greatest devotee of the Lord. Right? So the instructing spiritual master, Krishna does that himself. He comes as Paramatma. Then he also comes as the devotee, as the acharya. Srila Prabhupada, there are two kinds of instructing spiritual masters. One is the liberated person fully absorbed in meditation and devotional service, and the other is one who invokes the disciple's spiritual consciousness by means of relevant instructions. Thus, the instructions in the science of devotion are differentiated in terms of the objective and subjective ways of understanding. The acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. Right? So we see here also is that you have the person who may fully be liberated and the other and fully absorbed, and the other one who invokes the disciple's spiritual consciousness means of relevant instruction. Means they're able to give the instruction in such a way that the disciple can take advantage of it and use it. Right? So that's the advantage when you have this system with the Acharya Purush system, is mean by having the founder Acharya, then everybody else can just make that instruction relevant to their dependents. Right? So that's all that's going on. So in this way, then you have these different levels. Does that make sense? Yes.
As this subjective and objective thing here is the When you see the examples, this is more subjective and instructions are objective, or what is the...
Would there be, have you come across it where they use these terms in this connection?
I think that would be...
The subjective and objective. Thus, the instructions in the science of devotion are differentiated in terms of the objective and subjective ways of understanding. I guess you would also take it, objective means what's the actual ultimate goal, seeing the overall thing and everything like that, and then subjective means applying it to the individual. Mm-hmm. Is that, so I would tend to see, but in connection to this, of the one is the liberated person fully absorbed in meditation, and the other is he who invokes the disciple's spiritual consciousness by means of relevant instruction. Right? So one has the objective, they see the overall everything, see everything in connection with Krishna, and then the subjective, they'll see it in connection with how the disciple can apply it. Not that the first one can't do that, it just means he can do both, but the second one can only do the second.
Yeah. You can say it's generally specific.
Yes, but at the same time, it means you could say it like that, but at the same time you have Prabhupada's, it's general, but it's also specific. Because he can do both. But the point is he's given the instructions that are general that everyone else after that will follow and make specific for the individual. But to be able to do that, you have to have instructions that are applicable to all individuals. Right? And that's why we're very careful to stick to what the acharya is saying. Otherwise, yes, we can make up our own systems, but then the difficulty comes up is it doesn't apply to everyone. Right? Like that. So it's a matter of understanding. Then that's where you then approach that spiritual master who can make it relevant to you. Right? So you'll have different people, different this. So it's since all souls are qualified to take up pure devotional service, that's their nature. Then one can't say, oh, but this is all, you know, an Indian approach. It won't work for anybody who's not Indian and all this kind of stuff. We're Westerners and all this. And as the Indians, you know, come across on their boat, you know, like this, and, you know, settle down and then take over all the motels, take over all Silicon Valley, take over everything. And then everyone says, oh, we're Westerners, we can't do this, you know, because that's for India. Indians can only do that stuff. You know, it's just stupid. Right? But the whole point is that there'll be those who can make that more relevant to a particular group who may think in a particular way. Right? And so then that works. But it has to be understood is that it's the acharya's instructions that are universal. Mm-hmm. And our relevant instructions may have a broader or a more narrow application.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like that. So, if we find that if in our attracting people to Krishna, then they can't actually function within the greater society of ISKCON, then we might find we're a bit too narrow. Because if they don't function within the acharya's, premise, yes, that the situation, the society and all that, that means then something's wrong there. Because if you have that more broader understanding, you can accommodate those who are less broad. Right? So it'll work. But if you're creating something that's more narrow than the general devotee, then it's too narrow. You know, that it may work that they can, you know, they can practice in their home and this and that, nice. But the thing is they won't be able to fully take advantage of the sadhu sangha and everything else that's there in the society. Especially as it develops and especially as it, you know, as one gets more purified, there's more elements in the mode of goodness being practiced in society. You know, like that. So,
with these two kind of shiksha guru, everyone has the possibility to go back to Godhead.
Yes, yes.
In any situation, any country.
Yes, yes. Yes. So even in this, in the one who gives relevant instruction, that can be extended to anybody who's preaching.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Because in the Siksha Guru means you have the founder Acharya, the Adi Guru. And so then they're going to be in that category. And then then you have those who are giving relevant instruction. Of those giving relevant instruction, some of those, the individual devotee will see them on the platform of Sadguru, like the Diksha Guru, and some will just be preachers that they respect. So in that way, even though it's two divisions, there's two kinds, there's actually three levels. Mm-hmm. Right? And someone who may be in the third level, the preacher for one devotee, is the spiritual master of someone else. And, you know, so your guru, you're seeing on the second platform, and this other preacher you really appreciate, he's on the third. Mm-hmm. But for someone else, that guru's on the second, and your guru's on the third.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't matter. Or it may be your guru's on the second, and someone that so other preacher you see there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of how much it is that there's that relationship and that surrender aspect. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, any preacher comes to the temple and they preach and try to help people understand Krishna. But it's generic. It's not specifically about the devotees in that temple. Right? It's that they're coming there and giving class and trying to help. Does that make sense? So it may not generate that deep of a relationship. Doesn't mean that it won't be of value, the instructions for you to use in your life. Right? And even if you have a nice relationship, doesn't mean you necessarily see them on the platform of Sadhguru.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So makes sense. So basically the point is you have the founder Acharya, and then you have everybody else following the founder, taking his instructions and trying to make them as clear as possible. So, yes.
The first kind of guru we mentioned is founder Acharya, liberated person.
Yes.
And the second one is the present living Acharya.
Yes, in this context, is, yes.
Can it also mean the liberated person is Uttamadhikari and others are Madhyamadhikari?
Now you're asking this, where are you going with this? What do you want to do with this?
Just trying to understand.
But, yes, but trying to understand what? Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, so what's the doubt?
Does it mean only founder Acharya, previous Acharya, or can be a living person also?
Who? Means being liberated.
Liberated and still living.
Yes, they could of course be that. But the point is even if they're a liberated person now, they're still going to follow the instructions of the founder Acharya. So we're taking a generic kind of thing and applying it into our situation. Does that make sense? Like before Ramanujacharya, were there no liberated gurus? There were or there weren't? There were, okay. And then after Ramanujacharya, we might find that there's also like Vadiraj and like this, right? But does Vadiraj just have his own scene, or does he just preach what Ramanuja says? Yeah. So that's the system. When you have the founder Acharya, everybody's going to follow. So they're going to be in this. So the two kinds means that they're giving relevant instructions. They may also be liberated. Right? But it doesn't matter. You're following the instructions of someone who's liberated. So it still works. Otherwise, let us just take this. Okay, now we're taking the point that we're, you know, in material consciousness, and then we come in contact with the devotees, and then hearing from these devotees, we get the, you know, realization of Krishna consciousness and the importance of that, and we surrender to the devotional process. Right? Okay? Now think about it. Who convinced you? Or who were the groups of people that convinced you? Were they all Uttamadhikaris? You know? Were they all really well, you know, solid, you know, situated Madhyamadhikaris? No, it can just be someone who joined, who got that mentality, that understanding the day before. Because the chit potency is there. That's why that's the potency of it. When you have the founder, anybody who's sincerely trying to understand and follow and practice, to their degree of realization, they can bring anybody else to that level. So you're not a devotee. He's a devotee from yesterday. Right? Means he can make you a devotee today because he's on that platform. He may not be able to take you beyond that platform, but he can take you to that platform. So that's the whole point. So these points, they move. That means they have all, just like when you're talking about Bhav Sadhana, but the points, the first three aspects of it, these the last two are only on the transcendental platform, but the first three, they extend all the way down to Shraddha. Right? And as it goes, it gets more and more clear, like Bhava. And then at Ruchi and Asakti, then you have it, it looks, it's very close to, it's like Bhava, but on a very small level. Then it increases, then it gets to Bhava. Does that make sense? So, we have to understand is that these definitions, they have a very exact definition, but at the same time, they have that ability to be applied across. So that means anybody, it's just like this. Anybody, even to say he's the new devotee, right? And that he knows the import of the Vedic literature, so much as he's understood. He's trying to abide by the rules and regulations, and he's trying to teach, you know, others how to act in the same way. That's why the brand new devotee can do. He's acting in that footsteps of the acharya. He's not the acharya, but it still works. That's why we don't try to make up their own things. Does that make sense? So once you have what the acharya has given, what's the point of anything else? What we try to do is how to apply that nicely in our life and to help others understand it. Does that make sense? So the person may be liberated, but as we saw before in Nectar Devotion, he doesn't act like that anyway, even though he is. So that's not the point. Means he may understand more, he may be able to take you farther in things and this and that, but it's still going to be the the instructions of the founder acharya that they're going to be making relevant to you. So it applies to everyone. But this thing is, oh, if he's liberated, then he's this. Oh, no, if he's not, but if he's not this, then he can't be, you know, all these things. See, just this, these are extreme things that please neophytes. Right? It's basically just Vaishnav gossip, something to keep you busy, right? You know, it means brahmachari is supposed to be asleep, but instead they're leaning on the railing there and the brahmachari ashram leaning over, and yeah, you know, this and that, you know, and then, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night, you know, go to bed. No? Yeah. So, and it's very relevant because both in Calcutta and here, there's plenty of verandas with railing. Just Calcutta, you kind of have to hang on to the bars above the railings. But you can stick your arms through. Done that one? No? Nobody? Calcutta Wallace? No? Okay. No? And some of them turn. Haven't figured that one out? No. I think it's in the, you got the one at the end, and the first one, that's not, if I think it's in the second one, the third one especially. You can check. Maybe they get fixed. Right? So you can do that. But the whole point is why not just take it that it has its specific meaning, but it also has its general meaning. That's the thing. It's one, it's different. You can have both of those at once. And this whole thing, no, it has to be this. They're absolutely, totally, you know, completely, supremely liberated, or they're just, you know, some, you know, schnook. You know what I'm saying? Why does it always have to be so extreme? You know, and then, of course, and all that, my guru is liberated, but everybody else is. You know, Prabhupada, yeah, everybody. You know what I'm saying? So we have to get beyond this. Somebody says, okay. Point is if you're following in the footsteps, you're as good as liberated. If the iron's in fire, it's fire. If you take the iron out of fire, it's not fire. But that's jivas. You can take them in, you can take them out. You know, Bharat Maharaj, Uttamadikari, it obviously says that's what he is. And then he fell down. So it happens. But why he falls down is a bit different than why we fall down. So, yeah. Okay. The acharya in the true sense of the term who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge, and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. So here the acharya is a general thing. That means anybody who's acting in this way. Then in this discussion we're saying about the founder acharya. Right? Because you just need one of those to understand the sampradaya. Right? Does that make sense? When by learning from the self-realized spiritual master, one actually engages himself in the service of Lord Vishnu, functional devotional service begins, right? Because before that, one's appreciating devotional service. But it's when one actually engages oneself, then it's functional. So it actually takes, it brings it to the next level. The procedures of this devotional service are known as abhideya, or actions one is duty-bound to perform. Our only shelter is the Supreme Lord, and one who teaches how to approach Krishna is the functioning form of the personality of Godhead. There's no difference between the shelter-giving Supreme Lord and the initiated and instructing spiritual masters. One foolishly discriminates between them, he commits an offense in the discharge of devotional service. Right? So, the Lord is giving that shelter, and then the initiating and instructing spiritual master. There's no difference. That's why we're always very careful how we deal. Yes, we can see it by the modern context that we have no faith in authority at all. We only accept ourselves as authorities. And because of that, we can make all kinds of snide comments. But those snide comments will keep us from advancing. It's simple. Right? It just is, it's Krishna's system. We can't say, no, it can't be like that. Oh, I know him. Right. And you know the chit potency? I know that piece of wire. That piece of wire has just been lying around the house and that. That can't have electricity going through it. In fact, look at how bent it is, and, you know, the insulation is a little cut here and there, you know, and the ends have been stripped off, and like that. How can that carry the you know, electricity? We can go on like that all day. There is a parampara for this. It means in ancient times, and we saw that that was, how you say, means, what do you call it? Who was that? Duryodhana, he was in that line, like that. More modern than Ramachandra Puri was in that line. You know, Ramachandra Khan was in that line. You know, many, many stalwart personalities were in this line. And, you know, were very, very well known, very famous. And, you know, like that. So, the whole point is we have to appreciate that this is the way it is. Because it's Krishna's potency. Otherwise, how are we picked up? What pious activities we've done. Some, oh, I was looking for the Supreme. Yeah, where? You know, where were you looking for the Supreme? Everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Is what did we do that deserves to come in contact with the absolute truth? Because you can say, oh no, but I was searching, I was intelligent, I was a jnani, like this. But Mayavadis are also very intelligent and they're jnanis. Right? Does that make sense? They even know Sanskrit. Right? So, you know, and so, but it doesn't make them, doesn't bring them any closer to Krishna. So yeah, that's why I have to have faith that it's not intelligence, it's not pious activities, you know, it's not anything for this material world. It's simply somehow or another there's that interest. And Paramatma being pleased with that, then he sends the spiritual master. Only out of his immense compassion does the personality of Godhead reveal himself as the spiritual master. Otherwise, how many people, Prabhupada's walking around New York, and they don't care? Right? And a few guys, then they pick it up. Right? So that's the whole point. Prabhupada's walking there in the same street. And then a few of the guys catch it. You know? I mean, you're down there, it's the, what do you call it? The Lower East Side, that was like hippie haven on that side. But how many people take it up? Right? You go to the hippie haven on the other side, You know, he'd ask Barry, and then how many people took it up? Prabhupada's there. So that's the whole point. It's rare. So it's only by Krishna's causeless mercy. Srila Sanatana Goswami is the ideal spiritual master, for he delivers one the shelter of the lotus feet of Madan Mohan. Even though one may be unable to travel on the field of Vrindavan due to forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can get an adequate opportunity to stay in Vrindavan and derive all spiritual benefits by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami. Right, so by Madan Mohan, then we get attracted to Krishna consciousness, even though we may not have really any qualifications. But by the grace of Sanatana Goswami and making this knowledge about how to come to Krishna, and that then we're able to take it up. Sri Govindaji acts exactly like the Siksha Guru instructing spiritual master by teaching Arjuna the Bhagavad Gita. He is the original preceptor, for he gives us instructions and an opportunity to serve him. The initiating spiritual master is a personal manifestation of Srila Madan Mohan Vigraha, whereas the instructing spiritual master is a personal representative of Srila Govindadev Vigraha. Both of these deities are worshipped at Vrindavan. Srila Gopinath is the ultimate attraction in spiritual realization. So that's how Krishna arranges. Then, verse 48. O my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with the prolonged lifetime of Brahma. For you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you. Right? So from outside you're getting instructions, from inside once again. Srila Prabhupada. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-6 was spoken by Sri Uddhava after he heard from Sri Krishna all necessary instructions about yoga. I think 29th was the last of the Uddhava Gita, no? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then having heard this, now he's then speaking this. Then 49. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Srila Prabhupada. This verse of the Bhagavad Gita 10:10 clearly states how Govindadev instructs his bona fide devotee. The Lord declares that by enlightenment in the theistic knowledge, or in theistic knowledge, theistic, it starts with the, so you can go the theistic, yeah. Knowledge, he awards attachment for him to those who constantly engage in his transcendental loving service. Right, so then you get attachment. Right, you get that attraction from Madan Mohan, then you start to get the attachment. Mm-hmm. Right? This awakening of divine consciousness enthralls a devotee who thus relishes his eternal transcendental mellow. Such an awakening is awarded only to those convinced by devotional service about the transcendental nature of the personality of Godhead. Right? So if we're looking at, you know, just why aren't they happy, why aren't they this and that? Where the thing is the focus has to be on Krishna. Right? Krishna is the one, he's so nice, he's so attractive. And being focused there, then everything's wonderful. And we see from the examples of the stories that's where we see those devotees that are absorbed like that, then they're very ecstatic. Right? So they're not making it about themselves, they're making it about Krishna. Right? So that's our practice, that's our endeavor. We try to take it more and more towards Krishna. Right? And Krishna, if one has that endeavor, then he will make it happen. Right? They know that the Supreme Truth, the all-spiritual, all-powerful person, is one without a second and has fully transcendental senses. So that, he is the fountainhead of all emanations. Such pure devotees, always merged in knowledge of Krishna and absorbed in Krishna consciousness, exchange thoughts and realizations as great scientists exchange their views and discuss the results of their research in scientific academies. Such exchanges of thoughts in regard to Krishna give pleasure to the Lord, who therefore favors such devotees with all enlightenment. Right? So they discuss these things like that. So Prabhupada even here is quoting a verse. Verse 50. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, taught Brahma and made him self-realized. Right? So the Lord knows, and it's said he practices it because the Vedas are simply what he does. Right? But in the 64 qualities, the 20th quality, he follows the Veda. Right? And then he made Brahma self-realized. He brought him at the same time. So therefore, Krishna's an Acharya. Right? We're all okay with that, right? just to make sure. Srila Prabhupada. The English maxim that God helps those who help themselves is also applicable in the transcendental realm, right? So that's the thing. You have to try. There are many instances in the revealed scriptures of the personality of Godheads acting as the spiritual master from within. The personality of Godhead was the spiritual master who instructed Brahma, the original living being in the cosmic creation. When Brahma was first created, he could not apply his creative energy to arrange the cosmic situation. At first, there was only sound, vibrating the word tapa, which indicates the acceptance of hardships for spiritual realization. Refraining from sensual enjoyment, one should voluntarily accept all sorts of difficulties for spiritual realization. Because we're trying to move forward in spiritual realization, so we're willing to accept whatever difficulties come up from that. Does that make sense? This is called tapasya. An enjoyer of the senses can never realize God because they're distracted thinking of the sense gratification. Right? So that's the point, is when that's as you restrict that and start to focus on Krishna, then you see you progress. So that's why sense enjoyment is given up, because then we're seeing the engagement of the senses separate from Krishna. Well, bhakti means engaging the senses in connection with Krishna. So engagement of the senses isn't the problem. If it's connected to Krishna, it's called bhakti. It's not connected to Krishna, it's called sense gratification. So that's why you always see this point of sense gratification is always mentioned. Right? Doesn't mean the senses aren't engaged, they're just not engaged for sense gratification. An enjoyer of the senses can never realize God, godliness, or the science of theistic knowledge. Right? So any of these kind of things, they just can't. And the more grossly absorbed they are, the more difficult. Thus, when Brahma, initiated by Sri Krishna by the sound vibration tapa, engaged himself in the acts of austerity, by the pleasure of Vishnu, he was able to visualize the transcendental world. Sri Vaikuntha, through transcendental realization. Modern science can communicate using material discoveries such as radio, television, and computers. But the science invoked by the austerities of Sri Brahma, the original father of mankind, was still more subtle. Because it just gets more subtle as you go. But this is even more subtle than that. In time, material science may also know how we can communicate with the Vaikuntha world. Lord Brahma inquired about the potency of the Supreme Lord, and the personality of Godhead answered his inquiry in the following 6 consecutive statements. These instructions, which are reproduced from Srimad Bhagavatam 2931 to 36, were imparted by the personality of Godhead acting as the Supreme Spiritual Master. Right, so in here then the Supreme Spiritual Master in the capacity of the instructing spiritual master. Right? He's initiated him and now he's instructed. Right? So the whole point of initiation is instruction. So that's what we're trying to gain. Right? Okay. Verse 51. Please hear attentively what I shall speak to you, for transcendental knowledge about me is not only scientific, but also full of mysteries. It's scientific, but it's not necessarily, it still has to be revealed. So there's all kinds of things that may logically not seem to make sense, because you're dealing with the inconceivable. And you're dealing, inconceivable, unlimited, all things that are in creation. We accept that, okay, all things in creation come from the Supreme. But the point is, all things in creation aren't all similar. They can be quite different by external forms and actions and results. So there'll be contradictions. So that means that's why there's mystery. Right? Because Krishna is beyond what our intelligence can understand. He's beyond mind, he's beyond intelligence. Right? And his consciousness is unlimited, ours is not. Srila Prabhupada. Transcendental knowledge of Sri Krishna is deeper than the impersonal knowledge of Brahman. Right? So transcendental knowledge is not except but also full of mysteries, because it's beyond just knowing that we're not the body, we're Brahman, we're his soul, like that. For it includes knowledge of not only his form and personality, but also everything else related to him. So we have the person, but also everything how it relates to that person. And that's the fun part, is that see, and here is that if you know, just on the aspect that if we're only willing to hear about, okay, Krishna and the sweetness and this and that, then we're hearing about his form, we're hearing about his qualities or his pastimes that are there, that are in context of that aspect we like. And then outside of that, then if we don't find that pleasant, then there'll be a weakness. Because the whole idea of the Rag Bhakti is what's trying to get to that platform of the Braj Basis. But as pointed out, is that the residents of Dwarka, they know him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they also know him in a particular relationship outside of that aspect. So there's that mix. But if the on reverence is increased too much, they forget about their relationship. It affects them. Right? But the Braj Basis, they know Krishna is the Personality of Godhead, and it doesn't affect their relationship at all. Right? It carries on like that. So that means, why wouldn't it bother them? Right? Because the one is just seeing him as great, but so they forget about him as a personality. The point is as a personality, he has all these aspects that are there. And so everything being connected to him. Right? Knowledge of not only his form and personality, but also everything else related to him. So they can see everything related to him. When the gopis are feeling separation, what's Krishna's instruction? Yeah. But what's the method how they can always be? That, and then, and this also, this aspect of that he is everything. So that means anything, they can find Krishna. But the point is it's not that they're just taking a tree and then thinking about, oh, it's one of Krishna's energies, and so then you're just on the tree. It reminds them of the personality. Because it's the person who has expanded as everything. Does that make sense? So that's why then we're not so impressed with those who feel rag means you only cultivate one aspect. Because the point is if Krishna, it's all Krishna, so from all these, he can reveal himself. So that's the whole point. And if you're absorbed in Krishna, then you'll see everything related to him. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point. So that's why it's scientific, it's full of mysteries. It's very wonderful. Therefore these kind of elements where we project upon it time and space and our conditioning, then they don't come out so well. That's why we have to stick to the founder Acharya. And then through him understand the previous Acharyas. Otherwise, one may get great knowledge and learn all kinds of nice technical language and definitions and all that, but it won't help you situate yourself in Braj. It just won't. Right? So, there's nothing in existence not related to Sri Krishna. In a sense, there's nothing but Sri Krishna. Right? So you can see him in everything. And yet, nothing is Sri Krishna save and except his primeval personality. Right? So if you understand these two, he is everything, but he is that primeval personality. So that means everything can remind you back to his primeval personality.
Mm-hmm.
You won't take that item as him directly as his personality, as Bhagavan, but you understand through his energies and through his expansion of Paramatma and Brahman that all this is him, and who is it coming from? That original personality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something unique to Braj. No other realm understands this to this degree.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say, oh, this is a very technical thing. This is just gyan. Yeah, this is the gyan of Braj. You know, deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Something like that, yeah. Because they don't, otherwise how they go, they're seeing the tree. It's black. So many things are black. So it means anything black can remind us. Yeah. This knowledge constitutes a complete transcendental science. Then it's complete. Otherwise it's just, oh, you just only like this part of it. And why do you only like that? Oh, because this is the sweet part. And why only the sweet part? Oh, I like that the best. Okay. Then if we're defining that, then we're taking raw simply as what I like. You know, this kid over here really likes ice cream. So, and he likes it more than you like this, so he's more advanced in rag bhakti than you are. Because it has to be favorable to Krishna. That's the whole point. Yeah. And Vishnu wanted to give Brahmaji full knowledge about that science. The mystery of this knowledge culminates in personal attachment to the Lord, with a resulting effect of detachment from anything, quote-unquote, non-Krishna. That means what I can't relate to him as a person, I'm not going to be dealing with. I'll see everything connected back to him. But the point is what am I going to function, interact with? Those things that I can take and connect to the personality, that primeval personality. That makes sense? And so how do that, you know, according to our position, our nature, then we have certain field that we can work with, and then seeing that field in connection to Krishna, then that's what we're doing. And outside that field, we may see its connection to Krishna, but it's not how we're going to use it. We're not going to use that. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's why Prabhupada puts in non-Krishna in quotes, because there isn't anything that's not Krishna. But it's non-Krishna meaning it's not applicable to our service to Krishna. There are 9 alternative transcendental means of attaining this stage. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, assisting, fraternizing with the Lord, and sacrificing everything for Him. These are different parts of the same devotional service. So we see sacrificing everything is on the top. You know, by doing that, then all the things can be accomplished. So that means, as Prabhupada was saying before, that willingness to take up devotional service, even though it may not appear to be the most wonderful for developing, material attachment. These are 9 different parts of the same devotional service. So it's one devotional. So Bhakti Devi is one entity. But there's these 9 different parts. These are different parts of the same devotional service, which is full of transcendental mystery. The Lord said to Brahma that since he was pleased with him, by his grace the mystery was being revealed. Verse 52. By my causeless mercy, be enlightened in truth about my personality, manifestations, qualities, and pastimes. Srila Prabhupada. We cannot discover the mysteries of the Lord by our mundane endeavors. They are only revealed by His grace to the proper devotees. These mysteries are gradually disclosed to the various grades of devotees in proportion to their gradual development of their service attitude. Right? So as we develop that attitude of service and giving up that desire to control and enjoy material nature, to that degree then Krishna then reveals to that proportion. That gradual development. So each day as you make a little advance, to each day why some more is revealed. Right? And then as we surrender more, we see it goes quicker. When we're surrendering less, it goes slower. The truth of these mysteries was revealed to Brahma by the descending process without the help of the ascending one. Right? You don't need the ascending to actually understand transcendental knowledge. So thinking, I have to be intelligent, I have to know Nyaya, I have to know Sanskrit, I have to be studious, or that's all I have to do, I just study and that's it, and do no practical service. These things won't work. The descending process, what's given to us coming down from the acharyas, that works. So when you take that and use that, then we'll get very nice results. Otherwise, not so good. No? Something or? No? Yeah. 53. Okay, this is Chaturshloki Bhagavatam verse 1. So those other two were before that. So that's this would be what, 33. Right? 32, 31. Prabhupada mentioned 31 to 36. Yeah, so that was 31, 32. Now we're on 33. Prior to the cosmic manifestation, only I exist. And no phenomena exist, either gross, subtle, or primordial. Right? So the gross, the subtle, or the metaphysical. None of them exist. Right? After creation only, I exist in everything. And after creation only, I exist in everything. And after annihilation, only I remain eternally. Right? So after creation, it's only He that exists in everything. So that's why it works. He's there before, there's nothing. Then we see, after the creation, it has the material phenomena. It's manifest, the gross, the subtle, and the primordial. But He Himself is still all that. So that's why we're saying we can see Him everywhere. Srila Prabhupada. The Lord indicates herein that before the material creation, He existed in fullness with all transcendental opulences, including all strength, all wealth, all beauty, all knowledge, all fame, and all renunciation. When one thinks of a king, he automatically thinks of his secretaries, ministers, military commanders, palaces, and so on. Since a king has such opulences, one can simply try to imagine the opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So if a king has so much, and we naturally attribute, so what does the Personality of Godhead have? When the Lord says, Aham, therefore it is not to be understood that He exists, therefore it is to be understood. Okay, that doesn't make sense. The Lord says, Aham, therefore it is to be understood that He exists with full potency, including all opulences. Right? So when He says, I, that means with all of that. Right? Sat means effect. Asat means cause. Right? And Param refers to the ultimate truth. So, yeah. Asat means because it's beyond the material. Means that's the effect. Yeah. Cause and effect. Because we're taking the material world, so we'll say this is real, so this is there, so this is sat. And then asat, which is the origin of that, which is beyond this. Like that. See, that's why they get so confused. Because without the acharyas, you can't understand. Like that. And Param refers to the ultimate truth. That means Krishna Himself. Because otherwise, you see, as you have the material manifestation, right? The Mahatattva and all that. But then you have Mahavishnu. But then Mahavishnu, he comes from the ultimate truth, which is transcendental to cause and effect. Or we can also say, yeah, we can also take this as the asat means it's not manifest, so it would be the metaphysical, or the, what was the term he used? Primordial. Right? And so then you can take it as that then the ultimate truth is beyond the subtle and gross, and beyond the primordial. Because all the subtle and gross comes from, that we is manifest, that comes from the primordial. But the primordial then comes from Krishna. Mm. So it is, yeah.
Question related to Sandarbh. He said suddenly this word, and it was started. So when we speak about the Lord, and He existed before the creation, then what move him to create, what can we say?
His desire.
And it wasn't sudden. His desire wasn't sudden.
How are you defining sudden?
That's what I'm trying to understand. Because when they say sudden,
they say sudden because it just happened. You don't know why, there's no reason, it just happened. Like just suddenly something happened. You know, you're all sitting there at the table and, you know, you look down, you know, your phone buzzes, you look down, and then the next thing you know, one of your group is standing on the table and dancing. That's suddenly. Right. Yeah. So, but here it's that he has that desire, so it doesn't matter. And in our time frame, how does that work? It's beyond time and space, so you can't really. So he has the desire is there because the living entities have turned from him, and so they're controlled by this Ajnana Shakti. And so to give them an opportunity to come back to their natural position of service, then he creates the material world. Because they've turned away from him. They've turned away from him, meaning that he's the primary aspect. They've just taken that, his and this creation, which is secondary, they take that as primary. You know, that's the important thing. Because ultimately, they're taking themselves as primary. So they replace Krishna's primary with ourselves as primary. And so then the common point is going to be the secondary. So then the secondary means that Krishna is going to allow them to function in an environment that looks like the secondary of the spiritual world. Right? But it's not going to be the spiritual world because you have to have something that's unconscious. Does that make sense? You know, it's like let's say you have something very valuable and the kids find it and start playing with it. Then you replace that with something less valuable. You know? The cause of the creation is called the Mahatattva, or the total material energy, and its effect is the creation itself. So here you see is the primordial is the cause, that's the asat, and then the effect, the material, I mean, the creation itself is the sat. So it can be used, the sada sat can be used, you know. Yeah, it means, it depends on the context, it has different, because it's the same thing, that means one is the background of the other. But then you keep going back till you get to the Lord. So as you move it back, it changes. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's the context. Like, let's say you have the father and the mother and the child, right? So now the mother dealing with the child, she's dealing in the masculine principle towards the child and the feminine principle. Right? But then with the husband, she's dealing in the feminine and the husband's in the masculine. Does that make sense? So it keeps changing. It means depending on the context, it's one or the other. So you can say, how can it's either this or that. No, but it can be both. It just depends on the context. But neither cause nor effect existed in the beginning. They emanated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as did the energy of time. This is stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadyasya Yataha. The source of birth of the causing manifestation, or Mahatattva, is the personality of Godhead. Yo Vashishtyeta So Smyaham indicates the Lord is the balance that exists after the dissolution of the creation. But you do some activity, and then that there's something left at the end. So when the activity of creation and dissolution is over, then the only thing left at the end is Krishna. He is the balance that's left at the end. Right, so with that, then you create again, and then he's in him. And at the same time, as even though he's created, he still remains as that person. He doesn't become the creation and then goes back to himself, and then it's like, you know, he breathes out and then he disappears, and then he breathes back in, then he's back there again, and you know, that could get a little freaky.
He's special.
Yes, he's special.
Ishopanishad first. Om Purnamada.
Yes, yes, yes. The spiritual manifestation never vanishes. It belongs to the internal energy of the Supreme Lord and eternal exists eternally. That's why I was saying he's always there with all his paraphernalia and opulences. He's always there. When the external manifestation is withdrawn, the spiritual activities of Goloka and the rest of the Vaikunthas continue. Right? So here Goloka means that Krishna's planet, or Krishna Loka. Right? So it won't be in the context of this morning. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Unrestricted by material time, which has no existence in the spiritual world. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita 15:6, it is said, Yad gatva na nivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. The abode from which no one returns to this material world is the supreme abode of the Lord. Right? So it's important to understand. He's there, and then he's beyond that. So whatever is here, you can connect back to him, right? Because that was the point being made before. It's all Krishna at the same time, as we'll see, as Krishna takes that. He's still a person beyond that. So you always take everything and connect it back. Right? Okay, so now how will we apply this? So from verse 54. What appears to be truth about me is certainly my illusory energy. For nothing... what appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy. Yeah, I was going to say something. I was going to say, well, let's see how it works farther. And then I was going to get, wait a minute. For nothing can exist without me. I told that one time, Panchavita Maharaj was giving class. It was just him and me. And he starts to say something, and he starts to fall asleep. And then he says something that's not actually correct. And then, because he's not fully asleep, he hears it. And then he wakes up and, what? Who said, you know, so yeah, he was like, you know, where? He used to always take the, when they go down to the Juhu Beach, he would always take the Mayavadi and argue with Prabhupada on that. And then, you know, Prabhupada argued, so all the devotees could hear and then could hear all the, you know, how to deal and how to defeat Mayavadis. So he really knew that kind of philosophy. So then when he fell asleep, he said, wait. It was quite funny. What appears to be the truth without me, our problem is it's probably in here, it needs more commas and stuff. What appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy. For nothing can exist without me. Right? Because said before, that only I remain. And what was that Prabhupada said? The balance, but there was something before where he says that it's all him.
It's in the first. The cosmic.
Yeah, non-Krishna. This knowledge, okay.
It's in the same thing.
There's nothing in existence not related to Sri Krishna. In a sense, there is nothing but Krishna. And yet, nothing is Krishna save and except his primeval personality. So then the point is this. So, therefore, if you don't see like that, you see that there's something separate from me, then that's my, know for certain, that is my illusory energy. For nothing can exist without me. But otherwise, it wouldn't be there. It is like a reflection of a real light in the shadows. For in the light, there are neither shadows nor reflections. So you get all these different things. So the Mayavad stuff doesn't go here. You don't get shadows, because that's separated, and you don't get reflections. Right? Yeah, so he's already here, already taking care of that, just in case. So that means anything you see that's not connected to him, that's illusion. So that's the whole point. It's all connected to him. But we have to know how it connects to him, because we're trying to connect it to the person. Just to say, oh, it's all Krishna. Okay, but how does it connect to Krishna as a person? How does it make it devotion? Because otherwise we could say, oh, why are you doing that? Well, it's all Krishna. Okay, but how are you connecting it back to the person? Right? Because that's the whole point. Otherwise you can do anything with anything, right? That's called word juggling, right?
Yes.
Hmm.
And you say that connecting to Krishna means becoming conscious, and then connecting to person is making it favorable?
Yes, yes. Because if you're not conscious, how will you be Krishna conscious? And that Prabhupada makes that point. Srila Prabhupada. So that's, yeah. In the previous verse, the absolute truth and its nature have been explained. One must also understand the relative truth to actually know the absolute. The relative truth, which is called Maya or material nature, is explained here. Maya has no independent existence. It means when you're not thinking of Krishna, that's Maya. So it means when there's no light, there's darkness. Mm-hmm. So Maya is the darkness. Krishna is the light. So where there's light, there's no darkness. Okay? Maya has no independent existence. One who is less intelligent is captivated by the wonderful activities of Maya, but he does not understand that behind these activities is the direction of the Supreme Lord. That's why it's wonderful. But anything that you value it because there's something special. It gives you a special, experience, right? So therefore, it creates an impression, a favorable impression. But what? Where's the potency for creating that impression from? That's coming from Krishna. Okay. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:10, it is said, "Mayad yakshena prakritis suyate sacharacharam." The material nature is working and producing moving and non-moving beings only by the supervision of Krishna. When the material manifestation appears very wonderful, this is due to a perverted reflection of the supreme sunshine, the absolute truth. As confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, whatever one can see here has its substance in the absolute. As darkness is situated far away from the sun, so the material world is also far away from the spiritual world. The Vedic literature directs us not to be captivated by the dark regions, tamaha, but try to reach the shining regions of the absolute, yogi tamaha. That's also the, what is it? I think it's Chandogya or something. Something, it's like the how you say, the universal Hindu shloka. Something that tama, something. Yes, that one. Yeah. That point means you should come from the darkness to come to the light. Yeah, like that. That is like everybody knows that. That which is relative, temporary, and far away from the absolute truth is called Maya or ignorance. This illusion is exhibited in two ways, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita. The inferior illusion is inert matter, and the superior illusion is the living entity. The living entities are called illusory in this context only because they are implicated in the illusory structures and activities in the material world. They identify as the gross and subtle body. The Prabhupada said, you know, somebody was saying, oh, the body is the doctor, or the subtle body. The Prabhupada said, no, the soul is the doctor. Because the soul thinks, I'm a doctor. That's why then you have that manifestation. Actually, the living entities are not illusory, for they are parts of the superior energy of the Supreme Lord and do not have to be covered by Maya if they do not want to be so. The actions of the living entities in the spiritual kingdom are not illusory. They are the actual eternal activities of liberated souls. Right? So just as you say that Brahman has no nirguna, right? That's because you're taking us beyond. So then we'll talk guna is here. So we'll take that substance. So then we're taking here sat and asat, right? Then we're taking the what is tangible, and then what is beyond that, the metaphysical. But the point is, Krishna is beyond all that. So the living entity, because he identifies with this, then he also comes into that stage where he's as good as illusory. That's the conditioned state. Because we'll say, oh, I am this, I am that. But the soul isn't any of that. Then the third one. As the material elements enter the bodies of all living beings and yet remain outside of them, all, I exist within all material creations and yet am not within them. Shatrashloki, Bhagavatam, verse 3. Srila Prabhupada. Without the Supreme Lord's presence within the material world, the cosmic body would not develop. Just as without the presence of the spirit soul within the physical body, the body could not develop. The entire material manifestation develops and exists because the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters it as Paramatma, or the Supersoul. The Personality of Godhead in his all-pervading feature of Paramatma enters every entity, from the biggest to the most minute. His existence can be realized by one who has the single qualification of submissiveness, and who thereby becomes a surrendered soul. So submissiveness is that submissive inquiry. That's how it works. Right? So this whole kind of anti-authority and, you know, what am I getting out of this? And, you know, all based on justice, based on that, am I getting what I want or not, my rights? Then that lacks the submissiveness. Therefore, one will have difficulty understanding. So it's not a good method. It may work very well for working within mundane concepts of justice that are speculatory. But the point is it won't get you the understanding and realization of Krishna's existence. Right? So one has to be very careful about that. The development of submissiveness is the cause of proportionate spiritual realization, by which one can ultimately meet the Supreme Lord in person, as a man meets another man face to face. Right? So, then as you get spiritual realization, that submissiveness comes more. You have some faith in there, and surrender like that, then you get more submissiveness. That means then you'll realize more, so that will generate more submissiveness again. It just keeps going. It still is only by Krishna's mercy, otherwise how did it start in the first place? Suddenly, right? Yes. Because of his development of transcendental attachment for the Supreme Lord, a surrendered soul feels the presence of his beloved everywhere. Right? Because you're surrendered to the Lord, you're seeing him. So all things then, because it's Krishna making them happen, then those things that are of value to you, those are the only things you're going to see. Right? You know, if we say, okay, everybody, you know, what's out there? Everyone will see something different. And so depending on that, so that's where you see Krishna. So you don't have to see Krishna in everything, you have to see Krishna in whatever you see, which in your field is everything. You don't have to see in all fields, that's what Krishna sees. Right? It's just within our field. That's where we have to see. Right? Yeah. Yeah, so that's the point. Surrendered soul feels the presence of his beloved everywhere. And all his senses are engaged in the loving service of the Lord, right? So in his field, he's always seeing Krishna, and he's always seeing how to serve Krishna. And so where you have the aspects of activeness, then you're going to apply it there, the senses in Krishna's service. Where it's not, you can have the appreciation of the thing, so it's not your service, your area. And where it's against the service, then you just see it's not useful for Krishna. You're still remembering Krishna. It's something that he's not interested in. Just like, let's say you're going to buy some stuff of that. According to who you're buying for, you're going to decide, is this for them or not? Yes. Is that what it means? Yeah. Thus the Lord is manifested to a pure devotee from within and without. So within the heart revealing in that, and outside he sees also everything in connection with Krishna. So on that such a level, why one, you know, as the previous point, why one wouldn't see then the devotees and the Vaishnavas as manifestations of the Lord's mercy. Right? Everything is Krishna, and everything is Krishna conscious except the devotee. You know, that doesn't work. This is one of the mysteries of the devotional relationship in which a devotee and the Lord are bound by a tie of spontaneous love. Right? So here they mention this thing like this, it's something that's going on, but that's on the platform of spontaneous love. Right? Somebody says. So it's not about reading about the gopis. Someone on this platform could read about the gopis, and therefore they would really appreciate that. They would really be absorbed in the Lord and their relationship with the devotees. Right? So the point is the spontaneous love, because you always see Krishna. I mean, it, don't we have, I don't know if it's used much anymore, but it used to be used a lot. That kind of theme that, let's say, someone becomes very attracted to a particular person, a boy to a girl or girl to a boy, you know, and they're young and all that. So wherever they look, they just see that person. Right? You know, it's like they have this coat. They see the coat, they think of them. Or they see a walk, oh, that's them. Or, you know, the color of the hair or something like that. Or even the body shape is similar. And then they look carefully and it's not them. Right?
More in the classics.
Yeah, it's more in the classics, right? It's not a bad thing, right? Like that. Don't worry, it'll come back around. It's just as they get bored of all these, you know, I say grumpy and nasty stuff and snarky, then at some point it has to come around to this. Of course. That's why it's slowly coming out. And then, even in the West, people like to watch Bollywood stuff. Like that. So it's nice. It's got a nice ending, right? You know?
No, Bollywood is out there. South Indian.
Huh? It's also South Indian.
Now South Indian is a trend.
Now it's going South Indian. Okay. Okay, so it's not all happening in Punjab anymore. Oh, okay, cool. Okay, yeah. Had enough of the farmers down there, up there, right? Okay. It's just too esoteric.
Yeah. We have a Shastric reference for that. Brahmanjana Charita Bhakti.
Yeah, very nice. Very good. Yes. So like that, then you're going to see. So that's the whole point. That's where it goes. Bound by a tie of spontaneous love. So this whole idea is, no, but just by reading about the gopis, then you'll get that. That doesn't mean that that'll happen. Knowledge and skill, yes, you could maybe get. But it doesn't mean that that will generate this spontaneous love between the devotee and the Lord. Because then you're only seeing this connected to the Lord. What about everything else? Because your life, you do so many other things. So they'll only read about the gopis. Then when they're not doing that, oh, then you're in Maya. So, but then that's spontaneous devotion. It means you're all seeing Krishna at all times, in all places, in all circumstances. Right? That's going to be the next verse. To achieve this love should be the goal of life for every living being. Right? So that's the goal. Right? Yeah. So then the next verse. A person interested in transcendental knowledge must therefore always directly and indirectly acquire about it to know the all-pervading truth. Right? So directly and indirectly. Right? Chaturshloki 4, Srila Prabhupada. Those who are serious about the knowledge of the transcendental world, which is far beyond the material cosmic creation, must approach a bona fide spiritual master to learn the science both directly and indirectly. One must learn both the means to approach the desired destination and the hindrances to such progress. Right? So the positive, how to serve Krishna, and the negative, how to avoid those things that are not useful. You know, always remember, never forget. The spiritual master knows how to regulate the habits of a neophyte devotee. Right? So that's also the point, is that he takes that which is indirect and connects it to Krishna. Right? And therefore, a serious student must learn the science in all its aspects from him. Right? All the aspects. That's why I probably get upset if they would just, you know, focus on this one. Like that. Like that. So that would be the... Ooh. All right.
There is a need of cooperation between the guru and the disciple.
Yes. 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 Means that the guru is giving instructions that will work for the disciple, and the disciple is trying to take those and apply them. Mm-hmm. And then from that, then it just keeps progression. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the point is, anything about Krishna, like in the Vedic verses, then you have the, you've heard of the, like in the Vini Yogas, I don't even remember how to say it. But they always mention the Rishi. It's one of the things, when you know the Vedic verses, then you need to know you're considered that you actually fully know it when you know also the Vini Yogas. So that means you know, the meter that it's in, the Chanda, the Rishi, and what's the other one? The Devata. The Devata, the Chanda and the Rishi, I think those are the things. And so then, the Rishi means that person who meditating on that verse became perfect. So that means even taking one instruction, you can become perfect. You just follow that nicely. Like sometimes you see these devotees from the 60s, especially the early 60s, many times you talk, they just have like one thing that's very prominent in their life about Prabhupada, and they just do that. And it works. You know, because they're there with Prabhupada and something, you know, really stood out to them. And so they just follow that, and it works. So just that one thing will make it work. Right? So it's not an ongoing, you know, this emotional support. That's not the cooperation. Right? It's about, it's based on instruction. So that instruction is there, trying to be given so that it matches, but then we have to take it and try to apply it. So it's not the emotional back and forth like that. That may be there or not there. That's the whole point. The Vapu may or may not be appreciated. But the thing is it's the instruction that we have to take, and then it will have effect. Because we're looking for a spiritual, because if we just take the material thing of the emotional and all that, that's why Varnashram is there. If we have that need, Varnashram will take care of that. Yeah, yes. Indirectly inquiring. Okay, those who are serious about the knowledge of the transcendental world, which is far beyond the material cosmic manifestation, must approach a bona fide spiritual master to learn the science both directly and indirectly. To learn the science both directly means how the direct means one is you have the direct means those that are favorable to serving Krishna, and indirect those that are not. So by avoiding what's unfavorable, you can engage in what's favorable. But it's not that just by avoiding what's unfavorable then makes it that you're doing devotional service. So it's just like the four regular principles, any good smarta is following those. Like that. But that doesn't mean that they're devotional. You know? Does that make sense? Not on the transcendental platform. So you have to have both. Yeah? Both directly and indirectly. Right, you also have then the aspect of direct, meaning these five main aspects of bhakti. They're direct. The other are supportive of that. Or we are taking things that will be supportive of those that we're engaging. You're just like taking a bath. That's indirect, because it's not direct service to Krishna. Then, when we get to the temple, having taken the bath and all that, now it becomes part of that. Otherwise, it's just a support. So we get to the temple, then we'll go to Mangalarti. That's direct. And so the taking the bath is an indirect way that we can go. Because to not take a bath, then Krishna doesn't like that, and no one else will like it. Of course, if you want to get that spot next to the fan, that's one way to do it.
And then everybody gets it. Right?
Yeah, then you'll see everybody move. You know, so if you're on Panchatattva side, they'll all move over there. And then somebody will be there going, oh, and then everybody will go around, you know, go around the other way.
I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he mentioned that indirect is anartha nivritti, but then direct we follow artha pravritti, which is the real goal.
Yes. Because that means all these things are about there, so you're utilizing the proper way. So even here, taking a bath, you're going to do it in a way that's favorable for Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, so it's always going to have these aspects. But that's what Prabhupada had mentioned here also. The one about the, you know, avoiding which is not so useful. So that would be what you just said. So anartha nivritti, that's the indirect, and then the artha pravritti means those things that are actually devotional service.
The same part of the third line. One more.
Okay, one must learn both the means to approach the desired destination and the hindrance to such progress. So that's what you're saying, the anartha nivriti and the artha pravriti. The spiritual master knows how to regulate the habits of a neophyte disciple, and therefore a serious student must learn the science in all its aspects from him. Right? Because you have to know what to avoid. That's what we were saying before. Spontaneous devotional service, they only want to deal with what's the direct. They don't want to know about the indirect. But the problem in doing that, so many indirect activities are giving a problem. So then they'll think that they're advancing, but they may not be. Right? Yes, it is. But it's indirect in that you're using it in Krishna's service. So you're removing, and what does Varnashram do? It engages your material attachments so that you can give up those attachments. But it doesn't mean the activity is stopped, it's just the attachment. So Anartha Nivriti means giving up the mundane concept. Right? So it's a tool for that. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.